Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Global warming meetings have been canceled all over the country due to snowstorms, ice storms, 6 inches of ice on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. We've had 8 weeks of global warming, freezing cold weather and snow here in Colorado. First time in a quarter of a century I've ever seen it. But anyway, we're surviving through that. Our telethon for Bob Enyart Live to broadcast another year. We are at 65% of our goal of raising $25,000. If you could help us, please, we really need your help. You could help online at kgov.com or on the phone, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. Boy, we've been selling a lot of plots like crazy. 15 plots in the last couple days, although 11 went to a bookstore. We won't count those. Okay, I have in the studio a board member of Colorado Right to Life, Lolita Hanks. Lolita, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
It's so great to have you here. Now, we've got a lot to talk about because you were at the Senate hearing when the abortion ban was introduced.
Right.
You testified. That was powerful. You ran the legislative lunch this week with senators and representatives.
Yes, sir.
At the Capitol. And because you're a nurse practitioner, I'd like you to help inform the audience about this HPV vaccine.
And do you also want to tell them who I really am?
Who you, your identity.
Yes, my identity.
All right. Coming out of the closet right here on Bob Enyart Live is Nurse Maria. Lolita Hanks, we did shows for a long time where you were, I interviewed you, you're our medical analyst here at Bob Enyart Live as Nurse Maria.
That's right.
And you're really Lolita Hanks.
Yes, I am.
So it's good to have you out of the closet.
It's good to be out of the closet. I was really hot and tortured in there.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, welcome. And of course, there's reasons why people would be anonymous on talk shows. But now that you're a board member of Colorado Right to Life and you're on Channel 7 News and in the newspapers, so much for anonymity.
That's true.
Okay. Now, the last couple days, this horrendous event has gone on in Boulder, Colorado, where this woman from Pittsburgh, young woman, became pregnant, and her boyfriend apparently wanted to dump his wife. His parents, the boyfriend, the father's parents, didn't like the woman. You know, this is a troubled woman. And so they flew. The father and mother of the boyfriend flew the girl who's 5 months pregnant to Boulder, Colorado, so Warren Hearn would kill the baby. And it turns out the mother and father, they're divorced. They live in two different states. But hey, killing your grandchild, that brings anybody together.
Brings whole families together.
Whole families together. Kill your grandchild, right? So they flew with this girl who's 5 months pregnant to Boulder, Colorado. They get to the abortion clinic and she doesn't want to have the abortion.
Amen.
Amen. So she backs out, and at this time, Colorado Right to Life gets an email from the girl's roommate back in Pittsburgh and tells you guys of what's going on. And so on the phone, we have another board member, Susan Sutherland, who went up to Boulder with your office manager, Donna Ballantyne, and they met with this gal, this 5 month pregnant gal. So Susan, welcome, and is she keeping her baby?
Hi, Bob. It's good to be with you, and I'm glad to report that she is keeping her baby.
Wow.
So and she is definitely a very troubled young girl.
Mm-hmm. Hey, the boyfriend's parents think it doesn't matter if she's 5 months, 7, 8 months pregnant, Boulder, Colorado, Warren Hearn, he'll kill the baby. It'll cost us $4,000 or $5,000.
Right. Money was never came into play. From my understanding, the money was no object.
Right.
It became obvious, became very apparent. It took a while. Donna and I were there with this girl, and there was so much drama, and there was so much history that this girl was trying to share with us that it took quite a while to figure it out. But what we determined is that the father, the boyfriend's father.
So the unborn baby's grandfather.
Yes. Yes, the baby girl it is. This young girl that is pregnant has a name for this baby now.
Oh, my.
This man, the grandfather, it was obvious that he did not want this girl, this pregnant girl, in his son's life.
Okay.
And, of course, very apparently, he was willing to do anything to get rid of this baby, figuring that if the baby's out of the picture, it would be much easier to get this girl out of the picture and, hence, out of his son's life.
Okay, and so you kill the baby, you get rid of the mother.
That's right.
This is what feminists call love and concern for women.
That's it.
This is compassionate health care.
This is where women have been put on the pedestal, Bob.
Yeah, exactly. And so this mother with the five-month-old little girl in her womb, does she despise her boyfriend, the father of her baby, or does she wish they were together?
Oh, she wants to be together more than anything, and she was lamenting, and I mean, back and forth with her emotions, and Donna and I sat there and tried to counsel with her, and at many times in this three-hour conversation with her, we had to get firm and just let her know that this is not the father that you want for your baby or the husband you want for yourself. And so,
in other words, the boyfriend is going along with his daddy.
Right.
Go ahead. Go with my daddy on the plane. Go kill the baby. And this way I could be done with you.
And that's what it amounted to. Mm. And after I thought about it, I mean, there was so much involved. I couldn't even begin to explain it all. And it was so crazy and mixed up, you know, the stories we were hearing. Anyway, after making an assessment, Donna and I both, thinking about it all night, and then this morning I decided to call this boyfriend, and I was pretty certain he wasn't going to answer the phone,
right. But
that aside, I decided to leave a message because I knew he would not call me back, and the message that I left for him basically said that whatever he chooses to do with his relationship with this girl, his girlfriend, that's his decision, and you know, whatever comes of that, whatever happens, that's his choice, but he does not have a choice in the matter of his baby. This baby is a real living being. We saw pictures of this baby. This baby has real fingers, real toes, and a real face.
You mean the girl had an ultrasound?
Oh, yes. She had all kinds of tests done at the because she ended up in the hospital.
All right. So the baby, you saw the baby. You're telling him, you are a father. We saw your baby.
Yes. Right. I said, you know, if nothing else, if you're not going to be a husband to this woman, he is already... that you indeed already are a father of a five-month-old baby in the womb, and he needs to step up to the plate and do what is right, do the right thing, and bring that baby safely into this world and support this woman who is pregnant and support this baby and like I said, bring this baby into the world.
Amen.
And be there.
All right.
And be the father that he needs to be.
All right.
Is there a possibility she'd give that baby up for adoption because you said she's really troubled?
Yes. In fact, that's exactly what this girl told us, is that she will give the baby up for adoption. And Donna and I basically looked at her and said, you know, that's probably the best thing that you can do, hand that baby over to a loving, caring family that can take good care of her.
Which there are hundreds of thousands who want to adopt. And our liberal bureaucratic system makes it so very difficult to adopt babies.
Right.
And then they say pro-lifers won't adopt babies, which is such a lie. So, okay, Susan, thank you for having the courage to go. This is an example of a board member of Colorado Right to Life. This is the kind of organization that fights abortion while it's legal. We got to do things that get down in the trenches and go to where they're killing the kids. And hopefully we get to the point where they're no longer legally killing children.
Amen to that.
That's the goal. Thank you, Susan Sutherland.
Okay, thank
Bye,
you, Bob.
Susan.
Okay. So you know that woman.
Oh, yes, I do.
You're
She's
both,
one of my best friends.
You're both board members, Colorado
yes,
Right
are.
To Life. Okay, so we're with Lolita Hanks in studio. And Lolita, the Senate hearing, we talked briefly about it already on the show. This past week, Senator Scott Renfro from Greeley, Colorado Senator, introduced a bill to ban abortion. Just ban abortion, no exceptions for rape and incest. Were you the first person to testify? I think you were.
Yes, I was. They let the pro-aborts testify first, and their arguments were just so pathetic. It was tragic.
And almost everything they said, the bulk of their testimony was rape and incest, rape and incest, rape and incest.
Exactly. And then we had the one lady inflate the rape number. She said there was something like 32,000 pregnancies from rape.
Right, in a year, which was a lie. And the one senator said, oh, I had friends and classmates in school 50 years ago who died from back alley coat hanger abortions.
And knitting needles, he pointed out.
Yeah, and that was a lie. As
it
though
was
every
a lie.
Other woman was dying from back alley abortions.
I sent him a nice little email that he's willing to let a million children die for the supposed 200 to 250 women that actually were dying from botched abortions back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. And women die from legal abortions,
right,
too.
Right, and
of
it's
course.
Still their choice, and I emphasize that to them. If you choose to do knitting needles, then that's your choice.
Well, that's true. Okay, so anyway, they talked about rape and incest. That was the bulk of their testimony. And the tragedy is the pro-life movement has come to the point where rape and incest, that seems like it's a pro-life plank. You got pro-life candidates, pro-life laws, pro-life campaigns telling millions of people abortion is good for rape and incest, and millions of people believe that. And so then we can't make the personhood argument, because if it's a person, you don't kill the baby because the father's a criminal.
Exactly. And we had that difficulty, you and I and Brian, with making that argument with a few people. And
Brian
after
Rohrbaugh.
After you had left, we had talked to Sean Mitchell, and he was very stuck on that.
He's the Mormon senator from Broomfield, Colorado.
Right.
And he is, it's easy for Republicans to exaggerate how righteous they are.
Right.
But we got to remember that it was a Republican governor in Colorado that signed the first abortion law into force. Mm-hmm. That was John Love back in 1967. A Republican Supreme Court Justice, Harry Blackmun, wrote Roe v. Wade.
That's right.
It was passed by a Republican court in 1973 in Washington, and it's upheld today by 7 of the 9 U.S. Supreme Court justices are nominated by Republican presidents. When Republicans exaggerate their moral position against abortion, we need to correct that.
Yes, we do.
Okay, so yeah, the pro-lifers all agreed with the pro-aborts that abortion for rape and incest is a good thing. And this was the pro-life senators.
Right.
Supposedly, like a Mormon, like Sean Mitchell.
Right. And even Renfro, he relented.
He didn't vote on that amendment. He passed. But then he did vote for the bill.
Okay.
And afterward, Brian Rohrbaugh, it happened quickly.
It did happen quickly.
But that's what I think happened. And afterward, Brian Rohrbaugh, president of Colorado Right to Life, went to Senator Renfro and explained that this exception for rape and incest destroys the argument of the personhood of the child, and it is the foundation of the abortion movement.
Right, and we explained to him that that's how it started in Colorado, by using rape and incest as an exception, and now we have a ton of abortions. And we also explained to him that he should bring the bill back again and again, but leave it the same, if not strengthen it.
Strengthen it, because the wording could be improved. When the mother's life is at risk, the goal is never to kill the baby or kill the mother. The goal is to save both if you can.
Right.
So that doesn't need to be called an abortion.
No,
in our popular vernacular, the goal is emergency medical intervention to save the mother and the baby.
Right.
And if the baby dies, that's not the goal.
Right. And that's what we used to do. You can have a cesarean section in 5 minutes or less.
Right, of course.
Why would we spend days? A late-term abortion takes days to do. Why, if someone, the mother's dying, why would I spend 3 days doing a late-term abortion?
Right. And the difficulty of partial birth abortion versus a C-section. And the goal in partial birth abortion is to kill the baby.
Exactly. And the baby has to come out either way. You're either going to have a dead one or a live one.
Right. Okay, so you testified. Your testimony was powerful.
And it's on our website on ColoradoRightToLife.org.
The text of your website.
It's actually, you can listen
to
it.
The audio.
The audio.
I strongly urge, in fact, we will link today. We will link, okay, from our website, kgov.com, to your testimony. Because you opened up a powerful 1 hour of testimony from the pro-life side, and the pro-lifers were extraordinary. I didn't testify. You, Brian Rohrbaugh, Joe Scott, Ken Scott was eloquent.
Right. Joe Riccobono.
Joe Riccobono.
And those are all on there.
He got them really angry.
Yes, he did, but it was great.
He's a board member of Colorado Right to Life. But let's take a call first. Let's go to Morrison, Colorado. John, you're on Bob and Yurt Live and with Lolita Hanks.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I was there when they testified, too.
All right, so John...
Joe Riccobono planned murderhood. I thought that was really good.
You were at the hearing also. Yeah. It was a packed room, if you remember, a large room. They moved it to a larger hearing room because the media was there, three channels at least. And Joe Riccobono referred to planned murderhood.
Yeah, that was the old gas. That's about the only truth those senators listened to, I think.
Yeah.
And he was reprimanded for doing that. And,
And after my testimony, I found out from one of my friends that the lady sitting behind him said that I should have been aborted. And when Brian Rohrbach came to testify, she said, oh, it's another one of those Columbine people.
Right.
And then they laughed at the other women.
All the Planned Parenthood people were sitting together and they laughed at the other women who obviously, just as I did, struggled to tell their testimony. It's not easy to tell people that you've had an abortion, much less multiple abortions like some of the other women had.
Right.
And the tragedy that it's caused in your life.
And the Planned Parenthood women laughed.
Not because they're caring and tolerant.
Not loud. They didn't laugh loud, of course. That
would have
looked bad. They snickered. They said things under your breath like, oh, not that Columbine guy.
Yep.
And, Brian, whose son Danny was murdered.
Yeah, they're laughing while that girl even said she had spinal bifida, I think.
Oh, yeah, they probably want to abort her, too.
Yeah, and they said you should have been aborted. And you told your testimony of you have these beautiful children that are the joy of your life.
Right, and I was an abused child, and that's how I started out my testimony, by pointing out that many of the people in that room would think that it would have been better for me to have been aborted than have 18 years of an abusive childhood.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
They're denying me the rest of my life.
And so we have the Planned Parenthood contingent under their breath agreeing with you that, yeah, you should have been aborted. And that's the love for women and the compassion.
Yeah, and that was even after you testified that you became a nurse and all the things you've overcome.
Yeah, right. All right, John, thank you.
I just wanted to say about that Senator Bacon, too. I heard him. He said something about he had like three friends that he helped. He helped abort him with a coat hanger.
He's like the 98-year-old senator. I don't know how old he was.
Duty to die.
A pervert guy just because he had used a coat hanger on some women, so now he wants to.
But he's lying. It's doubtful from the statistics they have from 200 people a year doing that three people he knew did that.
God bless you guys.
Right.
Thanks,
John.
Oh, we saved a baby, too.
Amen.
Today we saved the baby down at Planned Parenthood.
Oh, at Planned Parenthood.
The police even blocked part of the driveway. It was really great. When some guy pushed us, some and the police were there. And that guy wanted to come in with the girl, and he said, I'm here right now. You can't go in. And he said, you have to park on the road, buddy.
And that gives the pro-lifers. Thank you very much, John. I appreciate your call. That gives the pro-lifers the time to talk to a woman coming in to kill her baby when they have to park out on the street. That extra 1 minute could mean the difference between life and death.
It is, and it's very hard for us because we have to stand on ladders above the screen to yell at these people to make them change their mind.
Mm-hmm. And we know when that senator said, I had classmates and friends who died from back alley coat hanger abortions and needle. That was a lie. That's simply a lie. And that comes from Dr. Bernard Nathanson. Back in the 70s, he was a pro-abort activist. He testified that 1,000 women a year died from back alley abortions. And then he saw with ultrasound what an abortion was, that he was killing babies.
Mm-hmm.
He became a pro-lifer and he has admitted that he fabricated.
Bernard Nathanson said
Bernard,
it was 10,000 a year.
That I apologize. See my memory? I think I'm getting Alzheimer's.
I took it off of his website from his testimony, and I sent it to Mr. Bacon.
Oh, very good.
So that he would have something to reference, since he was inaccurate.
Hey, could you send that to me also?
Yes, I
need a refresher. I haven't seen that data.
It's Bernard Nathanson, the founder of NARAL.
Founder of NARAL, exactly.
And he says he's killed probably 75,000 kids.
Because he did abortions in New York City, if I recall.
Did.
Just devastating. Okay. All right. So, go ahead.
And then there's the other senator, Mr. Morse, who at the end, the senators kind of got the last word. And so at the end, he said, he kind of felt sorry for us, but we had made our choice. So I sent him an email, too, about the choices people make and how we try to bail them out of it.
Mm.
Like giving people clean needles because they choose to shoot heroin.
Mm.
There's laws against prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's your own body. Why can't you prostitute yourself if you
right.
want?
Or
why
just...
is the law get involved? He also had made a comment that the government shouldn't be involved, and the only place the government was involved, as I remember,
in medicine,
in Medicare, Medicaid, and in abortion.
What
that's
a liar
it.
He
and
was.
And he was a liar.
He's saying that the government has nothing to say about the health industry other than abortion? What a liar. There's thousands of regulations regarding clinics and doctor's offices, medical
all clinics
practices,
except for
hospitals.
Abortion clinics.
Abortion clinics are the most unregulated in the whole industry of medicine.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. Okay, but they're when you kill babies, what's a lie?
Exactly.
Lie is nothing.
It's nothing.
Right. Adultery, stealing, what's that when you're a child killer?
Right. And at the end of that, my testimony came up to me and said he was glad I could pull myself up by my bootstraps.
Yeah.
You know, because that's like a Republican thing.
Right.
The bootstraps.
So legislative lunch. You well, ran this at the Capitol.
Yes, we did. What we did was invited people that we knew for sure were pro-life. And since my husband, Ed Hanks, who you had on the show earlier this week, used to work down at the Capitol and he's had a lot of political jobs, he knows mm-hmm. who's solidly on our side. So what we did was present morality and public policy. I did the medical stuff. And then Jason Troy, who's also on the board, did the evils of Planned Parenthood so that these people had talking points to be able to debate with. I think they know why they believe what they believe, but sometimes it's hard to articulate it. Mm-hmm. So we gave them ammunition to fight these battles.
Hey, could I just add a personal note? Your husband has decided to look for a new job and he is a writer. In fact, he's a speechwriter for the governor.
He was a speechwriter, did correspondence. He's written a video game strategy manual.
Yeah, yeah. He is so talented. So if there's anybody out there in Radioland that needs a writer, please call us at Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-N-YARTS, 1-800-836-9278. We could get you in touch with Ed Hanks. He's a great guy. You guys go to our church, Denver Bible Church, and he is talented. And he's fun to work with.
Yes, he's the nicest guy in the world.
He is. So there is a real opportunity for somebody. And it doesn't have to be writing, but that gives you an idea of his skills. And he's great.
He is.
Okay. So the legislative lunch, about how many politicians or
maybe about officials?
18.
I think Marilyn Musgrave had something going that day, too. So we lost some people to that.
All right. But maybe a half dozen senators, the rest representatives.
Right. And it went well. And I think they were shocked about some of the things I told them, that like euthanasia is actively happening in our hospitals now.
Because, right. Very good point. And being a nurse practitioner, you know it. You see it.
Right.
And Dylan Walborn, Children's Hospital, told the parents of Dylan Walborn, his four-year-old handicapped boy, starve him to death.
Right.
And they did.
And Children's Hospital's having a telethon right now on another radio station. And I called yesterday and asked them, how can we give money to your telethon when you're supporting euthanasia?
Wow.
And you starve this child to death.
All right. Now, Nurse Maria, Lolita Hanks, could we go to Costa Rica
now? Yes, we could.
We got a call coming in from Costa Rica, and this is Jeremy Clark, a missionary down there running a Bible Institute. Jeremy, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Bob, it's good to talk to you, and it's good to talk to your guests as well.
Yeah, Lolita.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hey there. I just want to say thank you guys for all the work you're doing to try to stop abortion. And I have to tell you, a different perspective on the whole abortion issue is that it's really difficult as missionaries a lot of times to be in a different country and be able to speak with moral authority when people know here that America is killing their babies left and right.
Oh,
and
wow.
So it's so important that we stop it. And
so you're saying,
the moral
Jeremy,
to share the gospel.
As a Christian missionary, you are saying that people look at you as an American and question your moral authority because America is so evil.
Absolutely. There's no question about that.
Wow. I have never considered that dynamic. We've talked about Muslims and Arabs hating us because we export our filth, our pornography, and now here, Christian missionaries have a harder job of preaching the gospel because people who are not Americans say, you Americans are brutal. You murder your own kids.
We minister in a Catholic country here, and they don't have the practice of abortion. They've outlawed that. It's against the law here. So when you try to tell them that their Catholicism is maybe not the right way to go about reaching the Lord and having a relationship, a personal relationship with him, they can turn around and come back and say to me then,
look at America.
What authority do you have? Because our Catholicism is stopping abortion while your Christianity is allowing, you know, 50 million plus abortions to go on.
Okay.
Yeah,
now,
that's really hard.
Jeremy Clark, you know what? If people would like to support you as a missionary, you and your family, they could send a check to us at Bobinert Live, since they might have our address more easily, and make it payable to Grace Ministries International, GMI.
Grace Ministries International.
And we will make sure to get that check made to GMI to you guys so it goes to Jeremy and Andrea Clark in Costa Rica.
That would be wonderful, Bob, but they can only do that if they send a check for twice the size to you first.
Okay.
Hey, Jeremy, just yes. Tell those Catholic people, we Christians here work as hard as we can to try and get rid of abortion. We're not just sitting here.
All right.
No, and we do tell people that.
Thank you, Jeremy, so much.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for all you're doing.
Thank you. Wow. And they teach the plot there in Costa Rica, the translation in Spanish. It's called La Trama.
Oh, cool.
Let's go to Colorado Springs. Jason, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hello. I guess I was listening to that bill you guys were talking about up in Denver.
Yes.
You know, when they say in your personhood argument, I understand that totally. When they throw out the rape and incest thing, you kind of think, okay, fine. But then why not, along with that bill, don't we say instead of killing the innocent child, why don't we just put to death the rapist or the incest, not the victim, the perpetrator.
And Brian did say that.
Yeah, Brian did say that. He said, you know, we could kill the rapist and love the baby, but liberals, they want to love and take care of the rapist and kill the baby. And that's what's backwards.
Understand.
Very good. Yeah. Very good, Jason.
Well, have a good day.
Thank you so much for your call. So, you know what, Nurse Lolita Hanks? We did not get to the HPV vaccine.
No, we need to.
We need to. We'll do that on another show.
Okay.
Real bad idea.
It's a very bad idea.
Okay, so we'll inform people and warn people about that. The telethon, we're at 65%, and you can help us hit our next milestone of 17,000. We are going, our goal is 25,000 by the end of February. Please, if you could at all help, you could subscribe to our monthly Bible study albums. That's $35 a month. Our monthly sermons, our videos. You could get the BEL Televised Classics. People from around the country are beginning to subscribe so they could start watching the old Bob and Your Life TV show. And boy, was that fun. I think Ed Hanks subscribed to that, you and your husband.
Yes, we did.
Thank you very much, Lolita.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. So if you can help us with a pledge or a monthly pledge or a subscription, please call us 800-8-N-YARDS. That's 800-836-9278. Lolita Hanks, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Sure thing. And Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school in Arvada, Maranatha.